Hi, it's Colin here. I'm the church secretary and an elder at West Kirby United Reformed Church. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the promises of God, where he's promised things to us. And if you've missed any of those, do catch them up online, either as part of the video on Facebook or on the church website as an audio file. The last two were the promise of pardon and the promise of peace. Today, I'm going to look at the promise at Pentecost. Those first disciples must have felt they were being asked to do the impossible. And at times, I guess we can feel a bit like that as well. Jesus told them, just before he departed from for the last time, in Matthew 28, 19, that they were to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. They must have wondered what on earth they were going to have to do to accomplish this. The task was so huge. Make disciples of all nations? How? And then he added, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Okay, I'm sure they would have thought, that'll be handy. But it's still a massive task. But then we read again in Acts that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So everything begins to come clear, and at least it does for us. So God is not asking them or us to accomplish anything without his enabling power. Indeed, he knows that if we try to do stuff in his name, but without the Holy Spirit, then it's going to come to nothing. We need the Holy Spirit of God to direct and empower us. Then we can accomplish great things. Because the Spirit empowers us. The Spirit enables us. The Spirit encourages us. And the Spirit inspires us. Now, I could make this into a handy four-point sermon now, but I don't think that's really necessary. Almost everyone listening to this knows that this is the truth, that without the Spirit of Jesus enlivening our faith, we can really do almost nothing. Without the Spirit of the Father protecting our faith, we'll be just swept away by the trials of this life. But we have the promise of the Spirit. Jesus says he is with us. He says that we'll receive power when the Spirit comes upon us. And that's a promise made by the living God. It's not something vague or woolly. This is a promise of God. So if you put your faith in Christ and believe that he is the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world, to take those sins upon his shoulder at the cross, and that he rose to prove his defeat over sin and death and hell, then you have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus alive within your very being. But sometimes we do not effectively utilize the power that is given to us by the indwelling of God in our hearts. I know that I do not maximize that potential. But that does not mean that God is not there and that the promise has not been fulfilled. From time to time, we are each empowered by that Spirit to be the right person in the right place at the time chosen by the Father. The Spirit inspires our hearts and we're able to do what we thought was not our calling. That is the Spirit empowering and enabling us. You feel a bit low, and then a Bible verse pops into your mind, or a past event is recalled with pleasure. The Spirit of the Father is encouraging you. A moment when we think of somebody or something and we pray, then the Spirit is inspiring us. The impossible was impossible for the disciples, for they were just ordinary people, just like you and me. The impossible is just that for us as well. But the promise of the Spirit tells us that the impossible is perfectly possible in both small and large ways. We need to practice the impossible in small ways, so that when the large things occur, we are ready. Sometimes we really need to practice. Practice allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Jenny always had this amusing thing where she said that she always prayed for a parking space, particularly when she had a bunch of small children in the back of her car, that was in a really convenient location and easy to navigate into. I think that's true. You know, we should practice in the small things. I had this lovely thing happen to me when Jenny's sister was dying, where I was a bit overcome by the grief of what was going on so far away from me. And I was sitting in church feeling really very sad. And beside me was the lovely Maxine. And Maxine told me later she felt like she was the last person that should be comforting me in this situation. But actually, she was the perfect person because she didn't fuss me. She just gave me words that I needed to hear. And that's the thing. Sometimes we feel like we're the wrong person for the job, but God still calls us to it. And it turns out that we weren't the wrong person after all. We were just the dead right person. And thank you, Maxine. You were the right person that day. It's that sort of thing, being willing to step out, be led by circumstances, and that is very often the way the Spirit leads us, by the circumstances we find ourselves in. Just be led by that and to allow God to work through us. Because as we allow him to work through us in small ways, it prepares us for him working in big ways through us. And the big ways don't happen that often. Well, not in my experience anyway. I would say the big ways happen relatively seldom. But we need to keep on practicing so we're ready for them when God calls us to them. You see, the thing is that we have received this power. And sometimes we doubt that, but it's not true. We should not doubt. The truth of the matter is God's promise is that we would receive the Pentecost Holy Spirit. It may not be as dramatic as it was with those disciples. We know what the story is like about them speaking in lots of different languages and people thinking they were drunk and all sorts. But that's not necessarily how it is with all of us. And certainly it isn't all the time. It wasn't for them. I mean, the stories that we read in Acts show that it most definitely wasn't all the time. But we do need to seek God's leading, to understand that the promise of Pentecost, the promise of the Holy Spirit of God living in us and participating in our lives, is actually a really important aspect of what it is to be a Christian. And that is what empowers us. That is what means that we can do things that maybe we never thought we could. It means that we are enabled by God, that we are inspired by God, that we are touched by him, that we can be the people we didn't expect to be at the moment we're called to be that person. Sometimes God calls us to step out of our comfort zone. That's okay, so long as he's leading us there. I have lots of places where I'm not comfortable. And sometimes I try and avoid what God's calling me to do. But, you know, it's never a good idea. You probably all remember the story of me cycling up a hill, trying to go past a car crash without praying for the people who were involved, and being felt like I was getting heavier and heavier. I couldn't cycle up the hill any further, it felt like. I had to stop, turn round, go a bit closer, and then the Lord called me to pray. It actually didn't call me to do anything else. Although, let's face it, prayer is pretty important in that sort of situation. And, you know, I tried to avoid following what God was calling me to, and it just felt more and more difficult. And sometimes we make our lives more difficult by not believing in the promise of Pentecost, not taking to heart the fact, and it's a fact, that once we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is alive in us. We need to really take that on board. We need to not hide from it. In Acts, this is what it says. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, we have to work in conjunction with God's Holy Spirit, because the Spirit empowers us. The Spirit enables us. The Spirit encourages us and inspires us. We've got to be people that are energized by the Holy Spirit of God, just as those first disciples were. The task that Jesus had called them to was utterly impossible. And in a way, it's no less impossible for us. It's a massive task to be part of drawing people into this wonderful kingdom and to experience the joy of our salvation. The same joy that lives in us, even when things are not going perfectly. We need to accept that the power of God lives in us. And we need to be in tune with that Holy Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the loving Father. We need to be in tune with it. Because God's Spirit is God. And we need his empowering. And we need to practice living in the context of a life guided by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Amen. Let's pray for a moment together. Lord, we just thank you for your great love for us and for the way that you have poured your Holy Spirit into each of our lives. We thank you that we can live lives that are touched and changed and renewed by you day by day because of your Holy Spirit living in each of us. Come, Lord, make us more effective as we live in the power of your Spirit. Give us that enabling power, we pray, that we may live lives of triumph, of joy, that when we are living lives of sadness, we can still, O Lord, be your people, living triumphantly. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name.